Chapter number 20, Matthew chapter number 20. We're continuing our series on the parables of Christ. We have about three or four more of these to go, and so we're continuing this series. Matthew chapter number 20, and if we can, once you're there, let's stand, and we'll read this parable together. One of the lengthier parables we'll look at, but nonetheless, Matthew chapter number 20, and we'll look at verse number 1 through verse number 16. Matthew 20 and verse number 1. It says there this: "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So, when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, but they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Let's read verse 16 together, can we? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We once again ask you for your strength and help in this message. Lord, I pray that you would give understanding, give clarity. Father, I pray that you would challenge us, convict us, Father. Lord, help us to see your grace in this passage. And Lord, your mercy, Lord, just who you are and how you respond to us. Lord, strengthen us here tonight, and we pray all these things in the name of Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Of course, we've been talking about parables. Let's again remind us, what's a parable? Let's say it together. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's what a parable is. It's an illustration, and tonight is no exception. This is an illustration pointing out something that Jesus wants to reveal. Let's break this down as we have with each one of these parables. Number one, we'll look at the setting of the parable. Number two, the explanation. And number three, the application. Number one, the setting of the parable. Okay? Let's look back if we can. This is the context, the reason why Jesus gave it. Let's look back at chapter number 19, because this gives a lot of insight into what this parable is all about. Look at it, Matthew chapter number 19, and look at verse number 27, okay? Matthew 19 and verse number 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, that's Jesus, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. Let's read the last phrase of verse number 27 together, can we? What shall we have therefore? Verse 28. Do you send to them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, or my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But, verse 30, if this looks familiar, it's repeated in verse 16. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Let's break this down, the setting of the parable. Number one, the sacrifice for reward. Peter, don't you love Peter? Peter just kind of speaks up here. Okay? He's going and he's looking at Jesus' ministry. He's looking at everything that Jesus has done over the years. He's looking at what Christ has done. And of course, they've been following Christ for the last 3 years consistently. And Peter speaks up and Peter says, "Hey, Jesus, I got a question for you. I've given up everything, and so have all of us. We've given up everything for you. What are we going to get for that?" That's kind of a gruff way to ask it, but that's basically what Peter does, doesn't he? He says, "Hey, we've sacrificed for you, Lord. We've forsaken everything," verse number 27 says. "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee." He's looking and he's focusing on their sacrifice and what they had done. Now, remember that because it's going to come in handy. Number one, their sacrifice for reward. Number two, I see in this passage, the question of reward. What are we going to get for what we've given? You want a return, right? In the world, we want a return on investment, correct? Yes, if you go and you put some money into your bank account, or you put some money into stocks, or put some money into a retirement fund, you want a return on investment. That's kind of what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, "Hey, what are we going to get for what we've sacrificed?" Number three, the promise of reward. Now, the Lord does give him a promise of reward. And by the way, we want to remember this, that God does promise to reward us for our sacrifices, yes? God does promise that. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord, is it? God promised to reward sacrifice, and that's what he does here. He promises, number one, rewarded authority. Number two, rewarded relationships. Verse number 29, you'll receive 100-fold of whatever relationships you've given off. By the way, this is not in any way saying that you'll have a harem or anything like that, obviously. It's just saying, hey, if you give up, you will always get much more in return. And of course, we as God's church are a family, and that is certainly clarified in that. Number three, rewarded existence. You'll have eternal or everlasting life. So all of these things are rewards, but that's not really so much the focus of the parable. The focus of the parable is Peter's attitude. Here's basically what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, "Lord, we've given up all this stuff, and we're gonna get back way more because we gave up so much, aren't we? You're going to pay us back every single dime, right?" That's basically what he's saying. "Lord, you're going to take care of everything." Now, let me be very clear, okay, or when we're talking about the parable, as this says, the Lord does reward those that sacrifice for him, correct? Doesn't he? The Lord does reward those that sacrifice. The Lord does reward our sacrifices, and that's perfectly clear. The Lord will reward those that live for him, correct? And that is true. But, the way God rewards is not often the way we would think God rewards. Does that make sense? That's the point of the parable. The point of the parable, nice and simply, is Jesus is saying, "Hey guys, stop thinking of it as an even exchange. Stop thinking of it as, oh, well, I gave up these things, so therefore I better get this back." No. Stop thinking of it that way. Okay? And Jesus gives a phrase that he repeats again. The last phrase of chapter number 19 is this: "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Say, what on earth does that mean? Well, that's some of what the parable is going to say, but let me summarize the surprise of reward. The reality is, here's what he's saying. He's saying, "Hey, when you get your reward, some people will be rewarded and you wouldn't think that they would get the rewards that they get." Does that make sense? Let me explain it this way. Some of the people that get rewarded greatest once we get to heaven will not be the great preachers and the great, you know, theologians and those kind of people. Am I making sense here? Our rewards are going to be a surprise. The people you would think would be first might be last. The people that you would think might be last might be first. And Jesus is going to give an illustration about that. He gives a parable, okay? And this parable, it's pretty simple to understand. The parable, number two, let's look at the explanation of the parable. Parable is pretty simple, Okay, let's do, if we can, we'll chart it out here. Okay, so there's a guy, he owns a vineyard. Back in Bible times, vineyards took a lot of work, a lot of effort to keep up. And so he has a vineyard. At about the first hour of the day, everything starts at 6 a.m., okay, in Bible times. Okay, so the first hour of the day, at 6 a.m., he goes out to the city square, and he finds some workers, and he establishes with the workers, he says, okay, guys, I'm going to pay you a penny. Now, that's not what we would think of a penny. That would be a pretty lousy day's work, okay? That's not what we think of. It would be one day's wage. So he goes to the guys at 6 a.m. He says, hey, guys, I'm going to pay you guys. If you want to work for me for the day, I'll pay you at the end of the day one penny, okay? One day's wage, approximately, depending on what you say, anywhere from about $100, $150, okay, in modern day. Okay, so we're going to pay that, correct? You all with me so far, yes? Mm-hmm. Yes? Okay, so at 6 a.m., he gets some workers, okay, and he says, okay, we're going to pay you a penny. Okay, then at it says the third hour of the day, which is 6 plus 3, that's what, folks?
9,
good. At about 9 o'clock, he goes, he needs more workers, the work isn't getting quite done with those, so he goes and grabs some more workers. He says, hey guys, you come out, I'll pay you a fair wage, you just come out and work for me. Okay, he does it again at the 6th hour of the day, that's 6 plus 6, that's what?
12,
good, so at 12 o'clock, he does the same thing. In the 9th hour of the day, that's 6 plus 9, and then, okay, 3 p.m., good, smart, okay? So 3 p.m., more workers, and then later on, he goes all the way to the 11th hour of the day. That's 5 p.m., okay? They would only work till 6, okay? So he goes and he hires all these people, and all these people work from when they are hired all the way till the end of the day, correct? Y'all with me so far, yes? Okay, let's go through the explanation of this parable so we can understand some of this. Number one, the master's payment. Look at it. It's an agreed upon amount. Look at verse number 2 of chapter number 20. And when they had what?
Agreed
with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. It's an agreed upon amount. Number 2, it's a very fair amount. Back in Bible times, a penny a day was the expected wage. They wouldn't have a minimum wage per hour necessarily, but they'd have a minimum wage per day, and it would be a denarius, or in our English Bible, a penny, okay? So that's what it would be. This is a fair amount. This is an agreed-upon amount, okay? Number 2, the master's laborers. And like we looked at, these are all the different laborers that are described in this passage, okay? So far, it seems pretty reasonable, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He had to hire some people, had to hire more, right? Now, this is where the parable gets interesting. Let's use a couple of volunteers, okay? Let's see. Joshua, Bubba, come on up here. And Josh Haley, come on up. Okay? And let's see, anybody else want to come up? Daniel, thanks for volunteering. Come on up. I need one more. Malcolm, come on up. Good. All right. All right, good. Perfect. All right, Joshua, I'm going to use you as example. You start working at the very beginning of the day, 6 a.m. You wake up, you start working at 6 a.m., okay? Correct? You're with me. Yes? Okay, Bubba, you're 9 a.m. Okay, you're right here. All right, Josh, come on over. You start at noon. That sounds about right. Yeah, there you go. Malcolm, coming over. Okay, you start at 3. You start at 5, 1 hour left. Okay? Now, they've been working, okay? Y'all with me so far, yes? So, Joshua started at 6 a.m. and he's been working all day long, correct? Yes? Yes. Okay? Then we go, we say we need some more workers, we get Bubba, so on along the line. Now, end of the day comes, it's 6 o'clock, it's time for everybody to check out and go home. Okay? Here's what the master does. Master goes and gets the steward, he says, steward, all right, we're going to pay everybody. Okay, so I want you to take the people from the end of the line all the way down to the beginning of the day, and I want you to pay them. So, okay, here's what he does. He comes along to Daniel, and he says, Daniel, congratulations. Here it is. Let's just say $100. Here's $100 for your work. Now, what's Joshua thinking?
Woo!
Woo! That's some kind of wage. I've been working for 12 hours. He got paid $100. Oh, man, 12. He's doing the math. 12 times 100. Oh, man, I'm walking home with $1,200. Yes. Sweet. Goes to Malcolm. Here you go. $100. Now Joshua's thinking, well, okay, he wasn't here nearly as long as me, right? I mean, he wasn't here that long. Maybe it's just like a half day thing, right? Like 100 a half day and then like an extra 100 for the other half day. That's fine. Okay, that's fine. We got this. $100. Y'all with me so far? Now all of a sudden Josh, he's thinking, wait a second. I work longer than him. Why, Mike? Well, that's not quite fair. Y'all with me so far? Then it goes to Bubba, $100. Bubba's thinking, wait a second. I work for 9 hours. That's a long day of work. Joshua, $100. Now all of a sudden people are starting to whisper, right? Crazy guy all the way down there. He's lazy all day long. Didn't do anything. Right? Didn't do anything. He got paid the same amount as I did. That's not fair. Y'all with me here? Isn't that what you would say? Yes? Isn't that what you would say? Man, that's not fair. He didn't work hardly at all. I worked all day long. And as a matter of fact, that's exactly what they say. Stay up here for just a second, okay? Here's what they say. Look at it. Matthew chapter number 20. And look, number 3, the master's payment. Okay, their various hours worked, but they all get the same payment. Look at verse number 9. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, suppose that he had received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Verse number 11. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, catch it, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. Catch it. Here's what they're saying. This isn't fair. You ever feel sometimes like life isn't fair? Yeah? You ever feel like life isn't fair? That's exactly what they're saying. This is not fair. They're all complaining. They're all like, man, this is not right. How dare the master go and pay him the same amount that he paid me. Now, catch this. This is the whole point of the parable. Do not miss this. Do not miss this. Was it fair? Yes or no? Yes. Why was it fair? Because it was a penny a day. Catch this. He may not think it's fair, but at the beginning of the day, he sure thought it was fair. Correct? At the beginning of the day, he thought it was perfectly fair. Why does he now not think it's fair, folks? Because he's focusing on him. Am I making sense? When he's focused on the master, oh yeah, that's fine. That's reasonable. That's how much I would pay. But catch it, understand this. This is the whole point of the parable. When this guy focuses on this guy, it's no longer fair. Y'all with me here? Can I take that and can I jump ahead a little bit and focus on application right now? When we start focusing on other people, we'll think our lives aren't fair. Just because God is gracious in some areas does not make him not fair in others. Am I making sense? Just because God showed his grace to Daniel does not mean that God was not fair to Joshua. Or all the way down the line. Are you all with me? Yes? Does that make sense? That's what he's saying here in the parable. Thanks, guys. You can have a seat. I might call you up again in a second. Okay? All right. So, the master's payment. Various hours work, the same payment. Number 4, the worker's complaint. Okay? The worker's complaint. There is, number 1, the apparent complaint. And this is what people think the complaint was about. Unequal efforts. Look at it. Verse number 12. Can we? Verse number 12. Saying, these brought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which is borne the burden and heat of the day. The Joshuas are going and they're saying, hey, I worked for 12 hours all the way through the scorching heat. Hey, this isn't fair. But that is not the real complaint, is it? Look at it. Look at the next verse, verse 13. But he, the master, answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny?" The worker would probably say, "Well, yeah." Verse 14. "Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own?" Catch it. "Is thine eye evil because I am good?" Here's what he's saying. He's saying, you know what you're really complaining about? You're complaining that I was so good to these guys. Here's what, in the case of Joshua, would be complaining about. He's not complaining that he got the penny because he was fine with that. Correct? He was fine with that. At the beginning of the day, he was perfectly fine with it. He's complaining that the master was so kind to Daniel at the end of the line. Isn't he? It's not fair that he's doing so well. How is that fair? That's not right. Can I apply it to us today? I have a cousin, and she's big into the whole, you know, everyone needs to make the exact same amount, you know, and all that stuff. The reality is, what is that? That's saying it's not fair that this person has this money while I only have this money. Is that making sense? Your complaint then is not against that person. Your complaint is against the God that was gracious to that person. Is that making sense? In our spiritual lives, we go and we say, man, you know, why is it that this person, you know, he goes and, you know, he lives his life and lives selfishly and lives whatever and then gets saved. Right before, I had a situation like this a few years ago. Someone had lived their whole life unsaved, didn't care about God, didn't care about the things of the Lord, and then right before they passed away, they got saved. Literally, deathbed, I shared the gospel with them, they got saved right before they died. And a family member had the audacity to come to me and say, "I don't think it's fair that I've gone and I've been saved for 20 years while he got saved right before he died. Lived selfishly, lived for himself, and then got saved right before he died. How is that fair?" Do you see the issue? That's the point of this parable. Number one, the setting. Number two, explanation. Number three, the application. Let's apply it. Number one, generally, let's focus on the application of this parable. What does this parable mean generally? Then we'll look a little bit more specifically in the context. Number one, God is never less than fair. Can we all say that together? God is never less than fair. One more time, nice and strong. God is never less than fair. You know what fair is to us folks? What's fair? Hell. That's what fair is. Am I making sense? God is never less than fair. When you start thinking, "God, this isn't fair," you need to realize that you are now focusing on other people. You're not focusing on God, because God is never less than fair. Am I making sense? Now, you look at other people, you might think God's not very fair. Oh, yeah, sure. Because God, number two, God is often more than fair. Correct? You and I, is God being fair in getting us to heaven or being more than fair? More than fair. What we deserve, fair, is for us to go to hell. The wages of sin is death. Correct? God is often more than fair, but he is never less than fair. What he was saying, nice and simply, is he's saying, hey, guy on this end, Joshua in this case, hey, I am being more than fair to you because I hired you. You could still be sitting there and not get any of the money. Correct? God is never less than fair, number one. Number two, God is often more than fair. You know what those two do? Is those two eliminate any reason for us to complain. Do they not? When we go and we complain, here's what we're saying. We are looking at somebody else and we're saying, hey, God, why are you not as more than fair for me as you are for them? Right? God, why do I not have this car that someone else has? Because, I only have this car. You do realize you don't deserve a car, correct? You do realize the first time you sin, do you deserve to suffer and die in hell? That's what you do realize that, right, folks? God is never less than fair. Number two, God is often more than fair. Number three, application here, generally. Number three, don't complain regarding his fairness. Don't complain regarding his fairness. Look at it in verse number 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will? That word, what I will, doesn't just mean what I will do. That means what I desire to do. God sometimes desires to bless certain people, and God sometimes is to bless certain people more, and sometimes he desires to bless certain people less. That is fine. God is God. You're not God. I'm not God. Correct? We're not God. So don't complain about his more than fairness and less than fairness. Okay? God is God, and he can make that choice because he is God. Correct? Number four. General application. Number four. God is good even when people think that he's not good. Look at it. Verse number 15. Is it not lawful for me to do that I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because what? I am good. Picture the lineup again. What are the people down here thinking? Well, that's not a good way to do business. That's not fair. I have talked to people over and over and over again on door-to-door, dealing with counseling, just friends and things that I've made that are trying to share the gospel. You know what people always say? Well, it's not fair that God did this to me. I don't think it's fair. Some people go through tough times, right? I'm not diminishing that. Talking to somebody the other day, it's not fair that my spouse died. I was following the Lord, and it's not fair that she died. Can I tell you, friends, even when we think God's not fair and God's not good, he's still good. Correct? God is always good. God's always doing good. Generally, here's the point. When we look over here and we say, well, it didn't happen like that for them, so why should it happen like that for me? We've lost sight of God. We've focused on other people. The Bible says it this way in another passage. Those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. You know what that means? If you're focusing on somebody else, you will always find somebody that has it better off than you do. Correct? And you very rarely find somebody to compare yourself with that has it worse off than you do. Correct? If we're looking to complain, we're going to find somebody that has it off really well a bit. Like, man, it's not fair that I don't have it off that well. Well, there's 800,000 people that have it worse off than you do. Stop comparing. God is good even when people think he's not good. He is always good. He's always fair. He's going to do the right thing, generally. Number two, specifically. Specifically, in the context of this passage, what is Jesus talking about? A few different ideas. Number one, timing of salvation. Okay, the idea, nice and simply, is some people, they go and they get saved right before they pass away. Some people get saved early on. I got saved when I was 13. Yes? Okay, so I got saved when I was 13. That means at this point, at 36, I've been saved for 23 years. Okay, some of you might have gotten saved younger than that. Some of you might have gotten saved older than that. It doesn't matter so much. All of us go to the same heaven. Correct? I got saved at 13, I'll go to the same heaven as you that might have gotten saved at 40. Correct? We go to the exact same heaven. The timing of salvation does not matter so much. It's not like one person gets to go to another kind of heaven while another person goes to a different kind of heaven. You all with me here? We all get the same reward, and that is eternity in heaven. Now, I'm not diminishing the other rewards that we looked at in chapter 19. I'm just saying general. Okay? Timing of salvation. Number two. The labor of salvation. Look back at chapter 19, verse number 27. What was the whole point that Peter was focusing on? 19:27, what? We've forsaken all. So what are we going to get? Peter's focusing on this. Hey, Jesus, let me just remind you everything I've done for you, Jesus. Do you see the arrogance of that? Jesus, let me just remind you, I've done this and I've done that. I've given up all these things. So, Jesus, when are you going to pay up? Whoa. Now, Jesus graciously, as he always does, goes and says, hey, Peter, don't worry about it. You're going to be paid back 100 times. Plus, you have eternal life. So stop worrying about it. But you know what we sometimes do? I'm afraid sometimes when we look at the rewards of heaven, look at even studies on the crowns of life and all those different things, and those are fine and good. But we look at them and we think, okay, yeah, I can't wait till I get up there and then the Lord pays me back for everything I did. No. You missed it. Listen, folks, the fact that we labor, the fact that we serve here is nothing compared to what Christ did for us. Right? He's being more than fair. So stop worrying about what you'll get out of it. Let me take it a step further. If you're worried about what you'll get out of it, then you won't appreciate it when you get it. Correct? If you're so focused on what you're going to get out of it, then you'll be the exact same person. Can you imagine up in heaven, this person is going and they're getting this crown and they're getting this reward and they're getting this thing, and you go and you look and you're like, you look at your pile of crowns and you're like, well, that's not fair. I guarantee you that's going to be the last idea in your mind when you're standing before Almighty God. Amen. So stop worrying about it right now. Right. Y'all with me here? Serve, labor. Doesn't matter where you are in this lineup. It doesn't matter. Serve and labor. The guy that got hired with 1 hour left in the day worked hard with that 1 hour. The guy that got hired with 12 hours in the day worked hard with that hour. Who cares? Labor and serve. Number three, specifically in this passage. Application, specifically. The surprise of rewards. The reality is one day when we stand before Almighty God, I am thoroughly convinced that some of us will be surprised at what rewards people get. God is not focused on what we think he's focused on. Right? With rewards. I am thoroughly convinced that some of the greatest people in the kingdom of heaven will not be the preachers. I'm thoroughly convinced some of the greatest people in heaven will not be the disciples or the apostles. I'm thoroughly convinced some of the greatest people in the kingdom of heaven will be people that you and I have never heard about. Why? Because Jesus says it twice here. The last will be first, and the first will be last. One day, by the way, can I give a little reasoning why? Not to spend too much time on it. But Jesus said, hey, those that humble themselves, I'll exalt. And those that exalt themselves, I'll humble. That's the reasoning for that. There are some people that have humbly served for years, faithfully given their lives to serving, to pleasing God. And can I tell you, folks, the Lord is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, which you've bestowed upon the saints. The Lord's not unrighteous to forget that. God's paying attention. So just because you look at your life and you say, hey, what progress is there? Why am I doing this? I've forsaken everything to follow the Lord. What am I getting in return for it? Is anybody else sometimes tempted that way, to think that way? God, here I am and I'm serving and I'm trying, I'm doing my best. God, what's the point? I tell you, folks, when we're serving for the Lord, God will reward that. Number three, the surprise of rewards. Number four, the blessing of rewards. Chapter 20, verse number 16, the Lord reminds us of the whole idea. Chapter 20, verse 16. So the last shall be first, the first shall be last. Catch it. For many be called, but few chosen. Do you see what the landowner tried to do? All through the day, he wanted to get more workers, correct? He kept going out, kept trying to find more workers. Every time there were workers there, he took them, right? He wanted the workers, yes? The reality is, there were a lot of people that never got the job. Yes? There are a lot of people that never started the job. let me remind you, chapter 19, what the Lord told to Peter. In verse number 29, you'll receive all these different things, those that have forsaken it, and shall inherit everlasting life. Folks, the reality is, hey, God is going to be more than gracious to you. Right? So don't focus on the little things. Focus on the big things. We are so quick to complain. Aren't we? Yes? So quick to complain. So quick to murmur. So quick to lose sight of God's graciousness and God's mercy. Nice and simply, folks, here's what he's saying. Here's what this parable is all about. Hey, God's going to be fair. Most of the time, God's more than fair. So don't complain. Don't get your eyes off of the Master. Don't get your eyes off of his graciousness to you. Don't get your eyes off of all that, just because of something small and trivial. Keep your eyes on him. Be thankful. Serve him faithfully. Focus on him and you, not everybody else. My dad said this so many times. I've given the illustration a few times, perhaps, of my dad. My dad used to be in ministry. Due to some situations, long story short, my grandpa bought a motorcycle, and because of that, church voted him out. And it was a different era. And my dad, as a youth pastor, left the church. Got into secular work and all that. But the one phrase that my dad repeated constantly, because he didn't want us to struggle with the same idea, is people will always let you down. God will never let you down. I tell you, friends, when we look at other people, they'll let us down. When we look at other people, we'll go and we'll question the grace and the mercy and the character of God. When we look at him, we'll realize he is always and will always be good. That's the point of the parable. Make sense? Let's do this. As we often do with on Wednesday nights, for just a moment, let's spend some time and make that a reality in our lives. For just a moment, I want us to, one, thank God for his grace in our lives. Thank God. Look at your life, not other people. Examine your life and say, God, you have been good. God, thank you. Thank you for the family I have. God, thank you for the financial blessings that you've given me. God, thank you for the spiritual blessings you've given me. God, thank you for the home that I have to look forward to in heaven. God, thank you. Thank him. And number two, confess where you've been questioning. Is this really fair? Is this right? God, how could you do this to me? How could you let this happen? No. God has been so much more than fair to you. Confess those areas where you're not contented and seek to make a change. Right now, in the quietness of this time, will you do that? And then we'll go into our prayers. Father, we thank you for your love and grace in our lives. Lord, truly, your grace is amazing. Your grace exceeds our sin and our guilt, as we sang about. Lord, we're just sinners, but Lord, you have saved us by your grace. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to realize and to understand, Lord, that no matter what comes in our lives, you have still been good and you are still good. Help us not to lose sight of you. Help us not to lose sight of the gifting and calling that you've given us. Help us not to lose sight of the purpose that you've placed in our lives and focus on other people and their purposes. Father, help us not to think that in some way you have not been fair to us, because, Lord, you have been so much more than fair. God, change us, challenge us. Convict us of our complacency and our covetousness. Convict us of those areas in our lives where we complain about what you've done. Lord, change us. Change us, Father, to be thankful. To be thankful that you have called us in the first place. To be thankful for that great home we have prepared for us, to be thankful for the many blessings that you've given us. Father, strengthen us and change us in these areas. And Lord, I pray that you would give encouragement through these passages. Lord, it's easy for us to focus on others. And when we focus on others, we become complacent. We become complainers. We begin to murmur against you, our Master. So, Father, help us to focus on you. Be with our prayer request time as we go into it in just a moment. Lord, work in those needs as only you can. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do in this and every area of our lives as we brought them before you here this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.